Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Okay, it's not really an intruder. It's my guest. I'm so sorry. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. I am host, groove, mistress, and cruise director, Madame Perry. And as you know, Madame Perry began as a blog first because I wanted to get the, and I called it Madame Perry Salon, to give it the feel of the groups where in the UK and Asia and Europe, a couple of centuries past, where people would bring together artists, musicians, all kinds of folks, writers, to talk and share their work and share ideas. And that is what I do here because fortunately I've had the good fortune to meet many fascinating people that I bring here for you. Tonight, of course, is more fabulous people. I have author Kat Richardson, and she's mainly known, I think, for the Grey Walker series, but she's been at several, so if you know that, you know she's been at several conventions, Dragon Con and so forth, so we'll be talking with her, and we may have some goodies to give away from Miss Kat Richardson. Also, you know, I love blues, and I love a good lady guitarist that knows how to lay it down, and we have one, B.B. Queen, everybody. B.B. Queen is going to be here. So let's welcome them in. B.B. Queen, Kat Richardson, please come on into Madame Perry Salon. I'm so sorry about my doorman there.
Well, hello there. Oh, my God. Kat, do you see this? I hope I can put my feet up on the couch. What about you, Kat?
Oh, I can't wait. This is great.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, good. Thank you. So I'm so glad you like it. I got some new cushions, you know, and I'm glad that you made it through the beaded curtains. Yes, yeah, sorry, my doorman, he just gets a little excited, likes to bring a little drama into everything, thinks everybody's a big intruder, and then he starts calling for that glazed ham, which William Shatner. But anyway, you're here, and I'm here.
And I'm here.
We're all here, and just so happy to have you on here. First of all, we're going to talk about you guys both have so much going on in your field, and there's so much to be excited about. Phoebe, and I've got another caller is here already, and so if you can hear me, caller, I'm going to wait just a minute before I bring you on to ask a question. First, I'm going to introduce Phoebe, and then we'll bring you in. I mean, talk about her work. Phoebe Queen. You know, yep. I've checked you out for a while, and, you know, I told you when you sent me, you know, when I have you, was listening to your songs yesterday, I've got a dog named Parker. My husband's a blues musician. I got a dog named Parker, and he was a rescue. Who knew that he was enamored of the blues? He shows up at every rehearsal, and unlike me, a chick singer, he never steps on anyone's solo. He's always doing his pacing, his tempo. I don't know. But he loves Buddy Guy, Big Mama Thornton, and Coco Taylor. And he'll sing along with on the radio or on YouTube if I'm playing him while I work. He absolutely loves it. So he loves B.B. Queen.
Well, that's been good company, and I sure do appreciate it, too. I'm so glad I'm not going to have to find a blue doggy bone somewhere.
That's great. In fact, I took him one time to a dog groomer, and I told her, I said, look, he's a little shy. He was thinking, I said, if he gets nervous, just play some blues music. And I told her. So then I went back. She said, well, you know, first I tried some stuff like Stevie Ray Vaughan, and it just wasn't really hitting him. You know, she says, then I switched over to B.B. King and some Muddy Water. He was fine. Then he started singing along. But she said, yeah, he's very particular. And I thought, how wonderful, though, that she tested different music, you know. She goes, well, he didn't like this, so she tried something else.
Boy. I tell you, well, you know, if I really need a really cool and really, really cute backup singer, you know, then maybe I'll call you and you can, you know, you can loan him out or something. Is it a she or a he? Is it a he?
It's a he. His name is Parker. Yeah, a video of it.
I sure hope Parker works cheap, though, because it sounds like he's pretty expensive. You know, the seasoned singers and players, you know, they don't work cheap, that's for sure. I'm going to have to leave a little meat on the bone for Parker.
You tell me. I know. Hey, just give him a little something off that, any little meat that's left on that bone, just give it to him. And then scratch him behind the ears. Good to go, BB. Good to go.
All righty. All right. He's in. Parker's in.
Oh, my goodness. He just adopted a puppy now. I hope he's going to be a singer, too.
Great. That's funny.
Well, you know, I was looking at something recently, too. Speaking of Coco Taylor, I was reading an article about an event that happened. Now, I'm going to take it back in time, everybody. January 2002. That's right. At the Magic Bag Theater in Ferndale, Michigan, at the Anti-Freeze Blues Festival, the song Wang Dang Doodle, the singer Coco Taylor, and who does she call up on stage to play with her? Miss B.B. Queen.
Have mercy.
You've got to tell me about this.
Oh, my God. And I
tell
remember
me about the
that.
Playing with a voodoo woman.
Well, first of all, Coco, oh, my God, what is there? You don't know where to start with Coco. So much energy, first of all, with Coco Taylor that when she says your name, I mean, when it comes across those lips, I mean, you just better get ready to go out there and picture Wang Dang Doodle. Because Coco will go and go. She should have been Coco because she can go, boy. I mean, and just to have her just say your name just sends chills through my body for sure. And, I mean, you know. There's like it wasn't real to me. You know, like, am I really up here with Coco? And she called my name. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Coco.
And
thank
she
you.
Called your name. And, you know, when a voodoo woman raised her hand, the sky began to cry. So, you know, she's got the power. And I could just try to imagine that when you got up the whole thing from her saying your name to playing with her and hearing her getting on the stage, being in her presence, because from what I've always believed, and you're confirming this for me just exponentially, that you feel, and I've heard this thought, there are some people that have this, that you just feel the vibrations and the energy.
Yes.
And excitement. This had to have been the most surreal experience of your life.
Absolutely, and the thing about it is that I'm so thankful because Coco, you know, has called me on stage in places all over the country, and I mean, like I say, to be honored to be in her presence like that, and for her to even respect you enough as a person as well as a musician to call you and share her stage was an honor in itself. But for Coco, weren't just the queen, you know, the well, Coco the queen, and she's calling. We were actually friends. I mean, Coco, I always talk about Coco and her blues daughters. She has pulled and adopted her blues daughters under her wing. And I mean, she really looked out for me. You know, she really, really, really did. And we were friends. I mean, I go to her house and we sit down and talk and we crack up and have jokes and I call her and she would call me. So we were really friends. It just wasn't a fan and, you know, and look at so. No, we actually were and I am still family with her daughter and you know, and everybody. We were just friends. When I talk about Coco, I mean, I just don't know where to begin. It's just a treasure. She has just left so much to me in my life, mm-hmm. in my music career, just by saying, you know, hey, do it. Just go do it. You know, that's what she said. Nobody changes anything but God, you know. And that was her theory, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody can stop you but God, so keep it going. You know, so just
yeah.
that one time at a home show too, at the Magic Bag at home. Oh my goodness, get out of here! You know, that was really good because I'm from Detroit, and I would tell people, you know, Coco and I were really friends. You know, and people are like, yeah, sure you are, but to be at home and for her to call you and like, yeah, in your face, here she comes. And, you know, and the setup was great because she was like, I remember that show. And she was like, well, you got her, mm-hmm. B.B. King, you know. And then she went on to say, but you got her, B.B. Queen. This is B.B. Queen. I mean, she just really wore it out that night. And, you know, to come on out with her and do the finale was just great. It was fantastic. I thank her again. If she's listening from heaven, if she's not, you know, singing right about now and taking a break, I just want to say thank you, my Coco. I love you.
You know, I feel, she had millions of fans all around the world, but I feel like her blues daughters, you know, you and all her blues daughters were probably a blessing to her as well. Because when mm-hmm. you're in a position like that, sometimes you don't know who you can trust, who really is really your friend and who's ready just to be a hanger-on. But
that's
she must have trusted you all very well. Okay, I have a mm-hmm. caller on here that's probably, oh, no, she just dropped. Okay, if you're the person listening that has the 865 area code, please call back, and I'll bring you into the studio, into the magic bottle here, and you can ask. So if the person with the 865 area code, please call back. Would love to talk to you in here. Now, that is just amazing. Actually, why don't we, and let's see. You know, we could always use a little music. I was listening. This is a song Parker was really enjoying last night, and me too. Go ahead. Can we go ahead and play a song, BB? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, anytime. I want to hear it too. I hope that BB Queen
okay.
is okay and pretty good. Let me hear what she's working with.
Okay, Kat, you ready? I don't know if that's on this CD. And I don't think you're. No. And I'm dedicating this to my best friend, if she's out there listening, Kenya Colbert. It's BB Queen. I'm quitting this job.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. All right.
Oh, man, that was great.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.
Ain't gonna make no money. No money around here.
No, gotta go on the road and play the blues, huh?
Got to.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Tell me about, what is the Lady Fingers Project?
The Lady Fingers Project, which I'm really proud of and would really, 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 really like to pay more attention to it and get it off the ground a lot better. But, you know, in the process of making a living when you're running from gig to gig and then I need to get my new music together, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. The Lady Fingers Project was actually born because I'm just tired of some people telling the chicks with the guitars, which I don't like the word chick, but, well, all jokes aside, not respecting the fact that when you hear, like you heard that, if you didn't say BB Queen and you said, hey, here's a song I like, it's pretty cool, I don't think anybody would call you and say, hey, was that a girl playing a guitar or a lady playing a guitar?
Mm-hmm.
So back to answer your question, the Lady Finger Project is basically saying that we want to be respected and honored, not necessarily honored, but just capable musicians. Just call us when you have a gig, and we'll just get the job done. You know, don't just negate us because we are ladies. We're just saying that we want to be equal players in the field. You can still carry my case in, then I don't mind that if you carry the equipment, but because I'm still a lady. But that's the Lady Finger Project. I just wanted us to women, girls, you know, just to network a lot better and just be more supportive of each other. If I got a gig, if I got three and I can't make them all, I want to know if somebody that I can call and say, hey, you know, Kat Dyson or Cheryl Cooley or, you know what I'm saying, something like that, or Geneva Powers or something,
mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I got three gigs, so I can't make them, can you? And I know that they're going to go there and take care of business and hope that they'll do the same thing to me. You know, that they'll say, hey,
yeah.
What? Oh, blues gig. I got the perfect, you know, person for you. Call BB Queen. She can handle it. So, you know, I really wanted us to start networking more and coming together.
Yeah. Give me some of the names of some of the Lady Fingers players.
Oh, you know what? I call everybody thinks that is a band. And that's really
funny. Well, I know
funny
it's not a band.
Because,
sorry, that was wrong. Yeah.
But, yeah, well, the Lady Fingers are, it's any woman, girl that plays a guitar. And so she's a Lady Finger. She plays guitar, she has fingers, and she's a lady.
Okay.
So that's basically the Lady Finger Project. We hope to evolve into doing and putting gigs together, panels. And, like, we have a Women in Expo coming up in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is on the Labor Day weekend. And with that, you know, we're invited. We have women that produce festivals, that producers. So the Lady Finger Project is really a project that we're pulling together. We want to pull together women from all over the world, all over the country, to come together and network. That's basically what it is. But it's going to boil down to opportunities in music and producing and, you know, to share and use each other for different events.
Mhm. And yeah, and I like, you know, sense. like you said. Yeah, and I like what you said, when you said, you know, people listening to it. You know, when people listen, they don't say, "Oh, is that a you know, is that a girl playing, was that a guy, whatever." You know, they don't.
Yeah.
But I know too, and I always appreciated this in my lifetime, and probably, I don't know, Kat, if you feel, you know, it's the same. Mm-hmm. But I know in my lifetime I've seen the perception change.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, different fields, like, you know, medicine, you know, nobody just assumes that the doctor's a man anymore, or that, mm-hmm. the musician's not a woman, or it assumes, mm-hmm. that it's a man, it's a band, guitar player, guys in the band. I remember once back in the 90s, you know, I took guitar lessons for a while from a fabulous gal in Atlanta, Angela Motter. It's very well known.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one of the best guitar players in town, too, one of the guys. You know, he was, I had a TV show, then he was on there, and he said, well, Angela's one of the best guitar players that you'll ever find. And I love the fact that he, and the same thing with my husband, they never said female or anything like that. They both said she's one of the best guitar players you'll ever find.
Yeah.
And I know with me, I had a jazz band for many years, and when I called musicians, I will say that I did find one difference between some of the female and male musicians that I work with. Because, you know, with something like that, yes, it's like you were saying before, if I need somebody, had a gig, and one of my regular people would have had another gig, you know, who do you call? Sometimes they'll help you find a sub, but who do I call? But I did find one big difference, especially between female keyboard players and males. Kat, any idea what that is? BB?
Oh.
No.
No, I can't imagine.
Well, when you hire a male keyboard player, they'll say, okay, first I got to tell you this joke, Kat, in case you haven't heard it. BB probably has. How many bass players does it take to change a light bulb?
Go ahead.
I don't know. How many bass players does it take to change a light bulb?
I might take it.
You know the answer, right, BB?
No, tell me. What is it?
The answer is none. The keyboard player will do it with his left hand.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Because sometimes they play the bass line. So a male keyboard player will always say, all right, do you have a bass player on the gig, or do I have to do it? Do I have to play bass with my left hand? Okay. But you call a female keyboard player that said, did you book a bass player? Oh, no, not yet. Well, you know, if you don't have a bass player, I can play with my left hand. That's more money for all of us. So, any of my guys are listening, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I don't care. Every single female said, hey, and then we can share more money amongst us. Don't worry about it. You know, I can play with my left hand. So, yeah.
Right, right. Right, and see, it's just like the guitar player, if you call a lady, most lady guitar players that sing, like I sing too, and I'll say, well, you got a vocalist? And they'll say, no, we're going to break up. Then I'm like, well, you know I sing too. What's the song list? Because I'm like, hey, you know, that's an extra couple in the pocket, you know, if you don't have a backup singer or if you need a vocalist, you know, I play and sing. So sometimes that's kind of cool, too. You know, we do it to the lady guitar players that sing also, you know. The thing about it is that, yeah, when you sing and play. And the thing about it is that they're not used to us being up front, you know, up front. So when you got a lady that's in your face with a guitar front, meaning in your face, that actually step out and play leads, because I think most people expect a woman guitar player to play rhythm, you know, because I used to play rhythm all the time, and I call myself backup BB. I was happy to be backup BB. Just call me and I'll play rhythm all night long. I was just so happy, you know. And then I think it was like one night on a gig, and you know, they were like, you need to take a solo. And I'm like, take a what? You know, and I was like, you need to go up and take a solo. and then, you know, that was like sort of kind of history. You know, I kind of agree with you that the, you know, the view of women guitar players, they are very well accepted more than it used to be. And I don't use that as something to hold you or, you know, to make an excuse for anything. I actually use it to my advantage now. You know, because, I mean, you got three. You got the lady you need, you know, when guys want a lady in the band also, and then you got somebody that plays lead and rhythm and vocal. So, you know, you kind of got, like, instead of a triple threat, you got, like, four things going for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of women are used to, you know, picking up, being as versatile as they can, you know, so that they can get a job, whatever it is. Like, I used to sing. And I ended up singing the tenor part a lot because we never had enough tenors, you know. But we had plenty of altos, and we all pretended to be tenors at various times because, well, you got to do the job.
That's it. That's it. That's true. That That's so very true. But I sure hope that, you know, because, like, if a guy walks in the club and he's got a guitar, most people will go like, hey, man, you play that? Yeah, you want to do one? Sure. If I go in the club, I'm always having to reprove myself because they are, say, is that your guitar? Or are you carrying it for your boyfriend? And the amazing thing is most women guitar players I know say the same story. You would think we all were born in the same house, raised by the same parents, because we have the same exact tale to tell, that it's like you reprove yourself every time you pick, you know, your guitar up, because it's always, you know, is that his guitar, your boyfriend's guitar, or can you play that thing? And I usually go, nah, not very well, because then I mean if I suck that night, I sound better because I didn't build myself up.
Well, you play great. You could build, don't have to build yourself up. Your guitar speaks for you.
I thank you so much. I thank you guys so much. I'm not paying you to say that. You know that. I'm not going to give you money.
Heck no.
Hey, I've heard you on stage. I've heard your pat. You've got a great stage presence in the way you work the audience and your sense of humor. I love it. Hey, and now, Kat, now that I know that you sing, you know, do you both know of the band called the Rock Bottom Remainders?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, what
do
did you
say?
Baby? Say
the
it
band
again, I'm
called
sorry.
The Rock Bottom Remainders?
No.
I think they've disbanded what? Now, but they used to play a lot. It's a bunch of authors. It's led by Stephen King. It's got Amy Tan, and I can't remember who else is in it. Maybe Dave Barry, but a lot of authors got together and started a band. And they play around it, I guess, at literary events and so forth. So, we might bring that back. We might do our own version. I'm going to tell people about Super Now Wow and this cool guy that I met named Grant J. Marsh. And then after that, we're going to talk about the Gray Walker series, and there might be some goodies given away. Now, let me see. Yay! I'm not...
Yay!
So we have, I think I told you last week, well, I know I did. I met this fantastic guy. He's British. His name is Grant J. Marsh. And Grant has a podcast that you're going to love. It's called Super Now Wow. These are short video clips, video podcasts, where you can just listen to audio if you want. But the thing is, it's not just the motivation, not just another, you know, self-help how-to. Grant's a guy who just, like I said, he does these in short videos, short bite-sized pieces, and it's good common sense advice, but a few steps further than that, actually, because one thing he brings out that I've never heard anyone else discuss, a little bit from Louise Hay, but not as much as him, is that just, do you really know who you are? And about how sometimes the beliefs we have about ourselves maybe come from beliefs other people have about us. Now, it could be negative intentionally, or it could be something that's just not you, and it's not meant to be negative. It's more like maybe somebody in your family always thought that you would be a CPA or an attorney or whatever, and it's just not you, or they think that you're this kind of person or that. It's not that they don't love you. They just don't really know you. They mean well. But sometimes you have to step back, get to know who you really are, not just what the expectations are, and then develop your own personality and pursue your own goals. And another show I listened to of his that I liked, where he was talking about learning to ask yourself why. If you're mad at something, say you're in traffic, are you mad? You're getting angry, you're getting road rage. Ask yourself why, why? Well, of course, the first thing is because I'm sitting in traffic and I don't want to be here and I'm wasting gas and I want to be home in front of my TV with a cool drink and relaxing. And then say, well, why are you so bothered now? And then you start going back and peeling off the layers, like, well, because I had a crappy day at work and I hate this job. Well, why do you hate the job? Is it the job itself? Is it people around you? Or is it because this is not your life's work and your soul is not fulfilled? And he teaches you to kind of go back and keep asking yourself to peel back and peel back a little bit more until you find the truth. And then from there, he gives you strong guidelines to go ahead and set your goals, you know, and to dream and trust and achieve. And he's just telling you things. He's not a guru, not a, a doctor. He's just telling you things that have worked for him that he's discovered on his own, in his own self-discovery. So just look for the podcast. That's just like it sounds. Super Now Wow. His name is Grant J. Marsh. And you can find him on, well, you can find him on YouTube as well as the other podcast sites, like I think Stitcher and so forth. So, yeah, check him out. He's just got a wonderful energy about him, too, when he tells you this. Now, Kat Richardson.
Yes.
Kat Richardson. Let me check my notes on you here. The antifreeze blues. No, that's not you. You know, the antifreeze.
No.
You might kill some. Somebody might get killed with antifreeze in one of your stories. I don't know. Could happen.
Golly,
I have
I hope
no idea.
Not.
But your Grey Walker series has got, I'm trying to, every word I come up with comes up wrong or like a pun, like you got rabbit fans.
I have rabbit fans too.
Rabbit fans. Okay, we're going to get to your little ferret thing in a little bit. But here are some of the reviews. If you, I can't imagine reading this, that some people don't know who you are, but just in case, here's one of my, I'm going to read some of my favorites. Richard. I love this. I just can't
Uh-oh.
Get contemporary fantasy.
Oh, you're laughing. This sounds bad.
Urban. Okay. All right. Then I'll skip that until I get myself under control. Okay. Here's the ones I like. A perfect blend of hard-boiled PI and supernatural thriller. It'll grab you from the first page and won't let go until the last. Harper Blaine is a smart, strong, and darkly funny lead. This promises to be a great series. And that was from Crime Spree magazine. The
Yay.
Bournemouth Daily Echo in the UK said, it's Sarah Paretsky meets The Sixth Sense. And this perfect blend
wow.
of paranormal thriller, I know, and hard-boiled crime, an imaginative novel where nothing is quite what it seems. Succumb to the slightly far-fetched fantasy, and you'll be gripped. I'm liking
it. All fantasy is slightly far-fetched.
I know. Sometimes when you read things and you think, okay, well, I'm not sure what they're saying here, but okay. Oh, and we have our caller back. Hi, this is Madam Perry. Welcome
yes.
to Madam Perry Salon. Who do we have on the line?
You know who you have on the line.
Oh, my gosh. It's the queen of us all. It's Becca Ruth.
I doubt it.
She's not taking your throne, BB Queen. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Your throne is set.
I'm afraid of her.
I know.
Oh, no.
Do you know how long it took me to get up the nerve to have her on the show and Kat Richardson, and then I got them both on the same time?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just doing my best not to squee too much.
No.
Go ahead.
We'll
squee.
Yeah, squee. Girl, if you got to squee, you got to squee. For everybody, I don't know if BB Queen has met this woman yet, but this is Becky Kyle, but people know her also as Rebecca McFarland Kyle, top Amazon reviewer. She was, when Amazon had their breakout novel award, she was a judge on that. She's also a writer, a popular editor and writer with her first novel, Fanny and Dice, that just came out this year.
Wow.
She's been on the show. She is.
Oh, hooray.
Oh, that's great. Great. Two authors. Yeah, but, you know, I'm Kat's fan. I'm here as the minion of evil.
I want Kat to make me a character, and you can go ahead and hit me upside the head with something too in it, Kat. Go ahead. I want to be a character.
I try not to kill off
Kat,
my friends.
Would you do that? Did you? Because we all know a lot of authors that put friends in their novels, or especially if they're an entertainer like BB Queen. Even if it's just a passing scene, somebody, I won't tell who, but somebody is putting my husband in a novel where it'll just be a thing where they were in a bar listening to Denton Perry play guitar or something and then go on. So, yeah, me and BB would love to
cool.
be eaten up by something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Me too, especially.
I want to eat something.
Well, the series is on
evil.
Hiatus. But if we get back to new publications, I'm going to need a whole bunch of new character names. I'm sure I would have room for a fabulous blues musician.
Oh, you have room for somebody named Bexley too. I just know you do.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, you know, you could actually do what George R.R. Martin did and you know, raffle off positions because people were paying like $2,000 to die on Game of Thrones.
I know.
I mean, yeah.
I did actually do that once at Left Coast Crime in Los Angeles. It's a convention for mystery readers. And I raffled off a name placement. They call it a Tuckerization. And this woman, not really knowing the series, said, "Could you put my kids in it?" And I was like, "You know that I tend to kill people off, right?" She's like, "Oh, no, you couldn't kill my children." And so I had to come up with a way of writing her kids in without doing anything terrible to them, the poor things. I hope they liked it.
That's a great story.
Okay.
That's great.
So if your kids, so if the kids are in there but they're not killed off, what are they, just mentally disturbed for life from whatever it was that they saw or what?
No, they're working in a coffee shop and they give some information to the protagonist. But it was kind of fun because I was thinking, oh, usually I just murder people, but not today.
Today I shall not kill. Not maybe not
murder
tomorrow,
takes
but...
a day off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so tell
this is a huge thing. You know, Grey Walker has 9 books in the series right now, and you know, a lot of fantasy series don't make it that far, particularly urban fantasy.
Yeah. Some of them make it longer, but yeah.
Tell us for the people, because this is feeling like a wonderfully like a pajama party, which, both by the way, you both need to know that Becky, Kyle, and I are planning to get, and we are really looking at this, getting a tour bus to take a tour along around the country of authors, musicians, and some people might get on just for a few cities and get back off, but we're going to take a tour bus and make appearances everywhere, so this will be like a big pajama party on the road, but... Tell the audience who's not aware, what is Grey Walker? What is a Grey Walker? What is Grey Walker? Who is Harper Blaine?
Harper Blaine is a private investigator, and she dies for 2 minutes, and then she can see ghosts and monsters, and so she ends up working for the ghosts and monsters. A Grey Walker is someone who can see the world that's kind of in between our world of the living and the world of the dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
To quote Constantine, she's always half in and half out, like a cat.
Yeah. And every time a cat shows up in the series, it always does something weird.
Of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really wanted to write a detective novel, you know, because I like mystery novels. I wanted to write a private investigator book. And you know how in those, like, hard-boiled novels, the detective is sitting in his office and the dame comes in to hire him. And, you know, by chapter 3, she's dead. And I thought, what if the client was dead when they first came into the office? How would that go? And that's where we started.
I like it.
Well, and what's really cool about Grey Walker, okay, here comes the fan here. What's really cool about it is it's very atmospheric. It's like, I mean, you know, the set for the show would just almost have to be in a fog a lot of the time because it's just... Well, no, I mean, it's you know, you talk about Southern literature or Gothic literature where place is a character.
Mm-hmm.
Place is as strong a character in Grey Walker as some of her characters are. It's really, you know, you can read it on a summer day when you're hot and dying and kind of chill off, for a lack of better term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel really strongly that when you're writing, the plot, the characters, and the place all have to work together, that you couldn't take one of them away without changing the story a lot. It's like music. You know, the music sounds different in a different place. You can't change the place without having the music different.
That's absolutely. I was going to comment and say that, because it's just like writing a song. It has to have a beginning and an ending, and if it doesn't make sense, then you know it goes somewhere. Just like your characters in your book, it definitely has to have tell a story, and hopefully a stronger story, the better the song.
Yeah, and there's all those great, you know, especially with your tradition of the blues, there's all those great stories that have, you know, all this drama and passion and characters who are, you know, having a real hard time or really in love, and where they are, not only in their life but physically at that moment, has a big effect on them and what they say and how they feel. And the same thing is true with a book. You know, you want to get people in and make them really feel what you're saying to them, and the place becomes one of the characters.
Right, and actually visualize it when you read the book. I want to feel like I'm actually there. You know, you take me wherever it is you want to take me. You have me in the palm of your hand. If you're a good writer, and I go there, you know, and I'm like that. I can see that character, how it looks, and hopefully how it thinks and feels. You know, I think Kat, I think Kat is that kind of writer.
Yeah,
I try.
She is, and it's really, and the first time I read it, I lived in Oklahoma, and it was in the summer, and it was like 104 degrees, and, you know, it was cold, and it was foggy, and, you know, this was the first book of the series, and I picked it up at, like, Walden Books back when they still existed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean... Well, I mean, they're,
that must
you know,
when the book
and,
first came
and,
out.
Pardon?
That
yeah,
must have it, been back when the book first came out.
I bought the book from the, I bought Greywalker from the new bookshelf. I had never heard anything about Kat Richardson or anything like that. And it was just like, okay, you know, I will pick up just about anything from fantasy. And if I read chapter two, it comes home with me. And, you know, I was sitting in the bookstore, and I was, like, at chapter four.
You know,
it's that feeling when you don't want to get up, and, you know, you're going to buy the book, but you don't want to get up and stop reading to go to the register.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear.
That makes me happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not just a fangirl for no particular, you know, random reason.
Oh yeah. I know. We have to work hard to attract fans like you.
Then you have to work hard to get rid of us, you know, the VPOs and you know, the going out of your house.
Well, don't leave
me.
I need all the fans I can get.
I don't know.
No, you can't name your ferret after me.
<You know? laughs> She's moving in next week, Kat.
Okay.
And bringing her cat.
Oh, God.
We have to tuck her in with the puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, puppies. Oh, good. Yeah, that's the thing, is that Kat, you probably know by now, Becky's got this thing about on the tour bus, she thinks we're going to have cat hammocks in there for cats to hang up in. Cat.
That way there will always be a cat to pet.
Well, we need dogs
too. Drive? Can Parker be the driver?
I don't know.
Oh, let me tell you, don't ask, because
does he have a license?
When we go between, he has no license, and he did not let him drive. However, when we go back and forth from Atlanta to Asheville, which is you know, where my husband works, we have three different paths that we take. Parker can be in the back seat, you know, singing along with Buddy Guy or something. And if I miss one turn off or turn down a wrong street, he comes out of that back seat. And you don't hear him, just that head, just, he's got this big head just comes right up beside your face and starts looking around. Like, okay, this is not the way to go. This is not the way. And then he starts getting upset. I know I'm talking about you, but shh. It's, you know, I'm about that. He's at that age where everything
your
I do
is personal GPS.
Him. But, yeah, and but he will start. But he knows if you miss that turn, if you go the wrong way, he's going to come out, start looking around, and he's going to be upset until you get back on track. Then he'll wait a while to make sure you're on it, get back. I don't know how he knows. And this is about about a 200-mile trip. I don't know how he knows. Doesn't matter which way we go, he knows that path. So he won't be the driver, but he will be the navigator.
Oh, well, I heard Ray Charles drove and Stevie Wonder, so I don't see why Parker can't.
Well, I mean, Joey Stuckey could maybe drive, too.
Joey Stuckey has that song, Blind Man Driving. That's such a good video. That's such a good video. Joey Stuckey, Blind Man Driving.
Well,
you
it's between Joey and me. I mean, you know, I think he's braver than I am.
My roommate in college was blind, and we had to teach her how to drive. It was hilarious.
Well, there are your characters, Kat. There you go.
Oh my goodness!
Baby queen.
So we have to have a
blind blues musician,
a driving
dog,
eye dog.
And what else?
Oh, hey, that's perfect. Hey, that's it. I can drive, and Parker can be my driving eye dog.
Yeah, great. Driving eye dog.
Like,
oh dear.
Fine, why not?
Hey, oh, by the way, I've got some questions. David Hurley, you probably know if you ever were a regular. And by the way, if you're listening to this, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, please click the follow button. And if you, you know, you can also subscribe in iTunes to Madame Perry Salon, and it's free. And it's also good because the more people that subscribe, the more I'm able to get cool people like B.B. Queen, Becky Collin, Kat Richardson on the show. Now, David Hurley is an author, poet, publisher of Subtlety Magazine. And he had a question in the beginning, but I didn't see it. And this is for B.B. Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It says, B.B. Queen, and he has three question marks. Brilliant name. And mentored by Coco Taylor, I'll never forget hearing Coco Taylor for the first time as a preteen on a late-night radio station that played vintage blues for hours. Thanks to early influences such as her, B.B. King, and John Lee Hooker, the blues have blessed me ever since. But what about early acoustic blues? Blind Lemon Jefferson, Blind Boy Fuller, Reverend Gary Davis, Pink Anderson, Son House, Elizabeth Cotton, etc. Do they factor in your musical history? And also, what do you think of rock and roll blues offshoots and innovators such as the Allman Brothers Band or even the Doors?
Okay, that's for me. I suspect I am B.B. Queen, last time I checked. I think, you know what I think? I think that a good song is a good song. A good blues song is, I think that everything evolves. You know what I mean? Because I have a tune called Wobble Wiggle. And it's blues. I'm playing blues on top of all of that. But it's a dance tune. So for the blues offshoots or the rock, the ones that are kind of a little more rockish, I mean, you know, we can get into the blues traditionalist. I love all of it from the beginning, from acoustic to electric, from the Stevie Ray Vaughan's to the Allman Brothers, like you said. I think a good blues song is a good blues song. And whether it has a hip-hop beat, but you're playing blues on top of it, it's still blues. It comes from the blues. So in answer to his question, what do I think about it? I think it's all good to me. I love music, and I love a good song.
All right. Hey, thanks, David Hurley. We love your questions. We love you. And if you got a question for Kat Richardson, pop it on up here, big boy. So, now, Kat, you've been to DragonCon.
Yes.
Are you coming back this year?
Oh, no, not this year. I didn't get it, my stuff going early enough, and all that stuff gets booked up real fast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I
have a wonderful time every time I go. Atlanta rocks.
Yes, I kind of think we do. So, yeah, so when you come back, I'd love to be able to, you know, have some time with you. So, What's next for you then, Kat? Because I saw on your website, you've got a great website, but I saw a lot of things that you've just had the ninth Gray Walker book published, and you've tortured fans by telling them that's the last one.
She's lying.
Well, yeah.
She's lying. It can't be. I refuse to acknowledge that.
Oh, Becky. Well,
you don't want to make me cry, do you?
Sales were down. Well, sales were down a little, and I had decided, you know, there was a good ending coming, and so I wrote to that ending rather than, you know, beat it to death like a lot of other, you know, series that go on for a long time, and kind of like some of those TV shows, you're like, when is this going to be over? That was good until, you know, the last half season, and I thought, no, this is a good place to stop. There were a lot of other things going on, and it turned out to be a really good stopping place for me because I was diagnosed with cancer about a month after the book came out.
Sorry.
And so I spent quite a while being unable to do any work. So it worked out well timing-wise, and we put another book out, and it's still on offer, but... Just yesterday, we got television option renewed for Gray Walker television series.
Yes.
It doesn't mean there's going to be one. It just means they're trying. But I'm really excited. And I've got a couple of anthologies coming out. Let me see. Next month, Urban Allies, where I got to write a short story with Katie Murphy. Katie's character Joe and my character Harper got together in a haunted house. It's lots of fun. And I wrote a really creepy urban fantasy piece called Peacock in Hell that's coming out in November in another anthology called Shadowed Souls. So, you know, I'm still working.
Ooh.
And if, in fact, a television series does happen, then there might be room for more new Gray Walker novels. But I'm kind of waiting to know what's going to happen next.
You can always write kind of sideways,
right,
too. Find a character that might fit into the universe and write about them. And
I thought about that, and every once in a while people ask if I would, you know, write something about particular characters. You know, people ask about Carlos the vampire all the time. And somebody asked me once if I was going to write about the teenager in Mexico who showed up in the novella Third Death of the Little Clay Dog. There haven't been, I love him, Mickey. There haven't been enough reasons to do it. Just because I love a character doesn't necessarily mean everybody else loves him enough, you know, to buy the books. You know, so I put a lot of those things on the back burner.
Aww. Well, now, yeah, cause I was going to say, with the, you know, I think what Becky's also saying is it's with the Gray Walker, she says you can't kill off the character. So,
well,
therefore, you can't
back,
kill off
darn
the
it.
Story.
Well, you know, I can't quite let go. I'm still in mourning. I can't read the ninth book. It's like, no.
Oh,
you
but
know,
it's
I'm
such
in,
a good book.
But I'm in denial. I'm sorry. I'm in denial.
Well, I promise I didn't kill anybody off.
Well,
not in a permanent way. Or I did. Or maybe it has a good ending. It doesn't have a "and they all died happily ever after" kind of ending. So you're safe.
I might have to come to Washington and stand on your doorstep and cry.
Aw. Well, I will tell you that the story I wrote with Katie Murphy actually takes place after the end of the ninth novel. So obviously Harper is still around and doing stuff at the end of the ninth novel.
That makes me very, very happy. And I really like Katie Murphy. I liked and my mind just blew it on the series. C. Murphy's Urban Coyote.
Urban
Shaman. Thank you.
Yeah, and that was the character that she brought along, and I brought Harper, and we had a great time. Katie's just fantastic. She's a lovely, lovely lady and a great writer.
And I love the Irish sense of humor. Joanne Walking Stick is her name.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
known as Joe Walker.
Yes, Joe Walker. But she, I like both the series. I mean, I'm not complaining. It's just, you know, I can't do it. Because
you want more? All right. That's okay. Somebody get.
This is reader therapy here. You should. We should never have gone there.
We should never have gone there. Never. And I think this is going to be a rough moment for Becky's husband.
I'm sitting here in the genie bottle, and I'm hugging my pillow, and you know, I'm digging around trying to see if Brett or one of the guys left a teddy bear or a cigar or something.
For God's sake.
Or a cigar? You cannot hug a cigar.
I can smoke it, though.
Or you can smell. I don't know. Was it? What's the guy's name? Cannell? Rich Cannell? Rich Cannell or Brett, right? Or you could. Well, you want to smell their cigar? I mean, or Carla Brady. Carla Brady. She's pretty cool.
Carla Brady rocks and rolls.
Leaving cigars in your couch. I better look around here just in case.
Yeah, well,
okay, well
you know, just watch out. You know, if you see any beef stick product, I strongly don't recommend you eat it. And I strongly don't recommend you feed it to your dogs either.
Okay. I got to bring this back up somehow. Okay, right now, if you listen to Madam Perry Salon, the number to call is 646-716-9922, and that's toll free anywhere in the continental U.S. You can call in and let us know if you want to win a book by Kat Richardson. And while you're trying to get your phone or trying to get it away from your significant other or whatever, or your child, I'm going to play BB Queen. BB, what's the name of the song?
Wobble Wiggle, Get Your Dancing Shoes On.
Wobble Wiggle, Wobble Wiggle, and when we get through, dancing, then we're going to give away two books.
Hooray!
The stylish clothes you wear, you
Shake it with it. Get it, get it. Ooh. Hey, everybody.
Wobble in it.
Wiggle with it.
Wiggle with it. Wiggle with it. Come on, cat, bring it on.
Shake it. Wiggle with it.
Gonna be wiggling all over the place in here.
That's it. I had to get off the couch on that one. Yeah, see, put a little more dance and a little more 2016 in the blues, because I still play blues all on top of that song when we do it live.
Oh, that was great.
That is fun.
Thank you.
Do you feel it better now, Becky?
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew it would do it.
I won't haunt one of my favorite authors after this now.
All right. Okay.
I'll move on down the list.
Move on down the list. Okie dokie. I like it. She's got a schedule. She's got a plan. That's why she's a great editor and writer. One thing I'm going to ask each of you, and this is while, and remember, you can call 646-716-9922. Actually, David Hurley cannot call. I'm not going to say why he doesn't have a phone, but he doesn't. He messages me. And so I don't know if it's some kind of a, if he hasn't got a new throwaway or whatever for his job, but he's already called in to win, or messaged in to win, David Hurley. And you'll be getting a book from Kat Richardson. Kat Richardson, tell David Hurley that he's won.
All right.
Ooh. Well, he will get a paperback copy of original first book, Greywalker. Yay,
wow.
By me.
Yay!
Then he will become addicted, and then he will buy the next eight.
Congratulations,
because Greywalker is a gateway drug.
A gateway book, yeah.
A gateway drug, like Wobble Wiggle is a gateway drug to more BB Queen music. So.
Absolutely.
And Greywalker. Gateway drug to Kat Richardson's Greywalker series. I like being the facilitator of all these addictions. So, one thing I'll ask all of you is, as writers, as a musician, when you write, when you create something new, do you have any special kind of rituals, or I don't want to say superstitions, but things that you do, like you need to be in a certain place, you like a certain kind of music, certain kind of drink, whether it's coffee or a tea, something you do. Do you have special things that you do when you write?
Hey, who wants to
Becky first? Because I know. No, Becky?
What?
You're asking
the first person you ask is the damn iconoclast. Yeah. No. Do I have any rituals? Do I have any special things I do? I try to do everything different every dang time, which may be why I haven't gained any honest-to-God expertise in it. Who knows?
Oh, you've got fabulous expertise. Painting and Dice is a fantastic book.
Oh, well, you know, so far everybody's liked it, but, you know, they're all related to me.
I'm not. And I'm going to see if David Hurley's read that too. By the way, you know, David Hurley's last book is part poetry, part prose. It was Sharon Tate and the Daughters of Joy. And you may want to check too. It's got a great blurb on the back from Jennifer Perry. Check that out sometime. But anyway, back to me, gals. All right, Kat Richardson. If this has to do with the fairness, okay, you're among friends. Yeah, special rituals or places you have to be, or like you write in a certain room or a certain place. Your lucky bunny slippers,
no.
Or ferret slippers.
Well, no? I have to be comfortable, and, you know, there has to be adequate light. But other than that, pretty much no, because a lot of the time I've been working until recently, there was always a deadline, and I didn't have any choice about meeting it. So wherever I was and had time to write, that's where I was writing. I've written on airplanes, trains, buses, the back seat of cars, in hospital rooms, in terminals, in hotel rooms, in lobbies, in bars. I've written everywhere under every circumstance you can imagine. So as far as I'm concerned, the only thing I have to have is my brain and something to write with.
Mm-hmm. Amen right. to what Kat said. Yeah. Amen to what Kat
Sometimes
said.
I don't have my brain, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to go find mine.
She's always off wandering around somewhere, doing something without us.
Well, I have a squeezy brain. I have a squeezy brain on my desk that came from Dell when my husband worked there. Well, you know, the little hell computer company in Austin, Texas. And, you know, occasionally if I need some inspiration, I will squeeze the little brain. And, yeah, that helps occasionally, or, you know, throw it across the room.
Mm-hmm. I have a squeezy brain, too.
Yay, squeezy brain.
Oh, where'd yours come from?
Well,
a fan sent it to
me. For me, with songwriting, it just happens for me. It's no it's really no certain mood either, because an idea will come even when I'm sleeping, and then I got to jump up really quick and write lyrics. Usually the melody, my songs, the melody creates itself, and then I write lyrics to the songs and to the music. And that's kind of weird for some people, but it's like a little melody or something that just be in my brain and it won't let go, and then I can write the song. And it might sound really, really crazy, but the melody always names the song. It is so weird that people probably would
really?
Think that something is really wrong with me, but that melody would say, it would actually say the words. So there's the song, and then I just start writing. And then if I start, I can't stop. So I have to just go ahead and complete at least. I might even have a song with 3 pages, and, you know, that's like 25 songs in one. But I won't stop because I won't discard anything until I'm done. But that little ditty actually will name itself. Yeah, it's just really weird. I can hear the words that it says, and it might be one line, but then I can build that song all around that one line, and it really names itself.
Cool.
That's amazing. It's kind of weird for me. I know people probably think, like, that is really strange. But that's exactly how it happens for me.
I think that sounds like a lot more fun than writing a book.
Well, Fanny and Dinosaur came from a dream. It was very bizarre. I mean,
oh, yeah?
Well, no. I mean, you know, I had a workshop with Peter S. Beagle, and it's like, and... then the next thing I know, I dreamed that Persephone and Eurydice were climbing up out of hell into the Wild West. And I wrote that 5,000 words. And he said, "This feels like a novel." And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do with it?" And he said, "Let the characters tell their story." And the next thing I knew, I had a novel.
Wow. See?
That's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, now I really want to read that book, darn it.
Gee, I happen to have your address.
Wow, imagine that. I might be forced to read a Becky Kyle book.
You might.
Okay.
I can't wait.
All right. Well,
no,
I
don't
you.
Know. You I might got... be forced to use it for kindling.
Oh, don't say that.
Okay. All right. I forgot this, but I had scheduled for an hour of time, and we've gone over an hour. Therefore, there is someone... a fantastic lady named Andrea Robinson, and she says she just tried to call in and got kicked off. So she says, please tell her I'm trying to call. So yeah, I forgot that. I have to tell her. Sorry, Andrea, I forgot this happened last time when Jasper Bart called and I was interviewing Mercedes. Well, Jasper got in, but nobody else did. But so yeah, I'm sorry, Andrea. I know you can't get in because the show is technically over, but we're still being recorded. So, Andrea Robinson, I think you're a winner.
Yay!
But Parker Burks, yeah.
Yay.
That's great.
I didn't know whether that was Parker or Jack.
It wasn't Parker. It must have been Jack, because it wasn't Parker. He's sitting right here just being, hello. He was listening to
that one of yours, Kat?
No, mine are outside.
Oh, weird.
Although I can hear them barking a little bit right now. I don't think you can hear them from here, though.
Okay, so tell Andrea Robinson what she's won.
Ooh, well, she gets the second book in the Greywalker series, Poltergeist, which is also a good book to start with. And because I don't have any of the original American edition left, she gets the very rare British edition.
Ooh, the British covers are cooler.
She says, "That's smashing." <cool. laughs> I love it. That's why she's smashing. First,
instead of doing a pub crawl when we were in Scotland, Tony and I went to the Fenn Book Store in Edinburgh and looked at book covers. I know that is about the geekiest thing you have ever heard, but we spent the evening in this amazing bookstore and filled our luggage up with books and. And threw out our underwear so we could get them home.
What?
Yeah, well, you know, the dirty underwear, we got rid of it in Scotland and brought the books home.
Well, you always know where to get more dirty underwear.
Yeah.
And that goes down in history in the archives of the show.
STMI.
BB Queen, let me tell you, I was answering Andrea Robinson, telling her about the book, and she's going, you know, smack. Oh my, I'm excited. I really appreciate it, Kat. And I was listening. I was texting her, and just next thing I know, I hear something about books, Ireland, and dirty underwear. And I don't know. I think it's time to.
Right.
Well, did I spoil it for you, Jennifer? Can you not top that?
No, I don't know. Did you spoil it for me? I don't know what you could spoil, but yeah, okay. So we got this in here. So I'll put down to Andrea and David. I guess we'll need their addresses to send it to. They'll give it to me. And I'll pass it on. Kat, that's so good of you to do that. Thank you so very much. And
it is my pleasure.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you on. So thank you for being so generous with your time and your books. And BB Queen, we're giving away a home performance by BB Queen. Oh, wait, no, we're not. I'm sorry.
Hey, and if you do get one of my relatives that didn't buy it, you can make sure to let them know. I'll give away two CDs to whoever you choose. There, okay. Anybody you choose,
okay.
Let me know, and I'll send two CDs out. I'll send a CD out also. Okay.
Yeah, they can't call
so that's
now.
Where you're
yeah, so you hear that? Anybody want a CD from Baby Queen's gonna give away two CDs? Yeah, I was looking for Michelle to call in. I think she's your niece or your cousin. So hear from her.
Yeah, I'm only kidding about the relatives. Whoever you want to give them to is fine with me.
Thank you. Well, Andrea says she's stoked that she gave me her address, which I'll give right to you. And thank you all so much. So I think now that we're getting into Becky's underwear, we're going to have
stay out of my underwear.
Stay out of Becky's
underwear. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Are we signing off, you guys?
This is why I am the minion of evil.
Oh, Lord.
Wait just a minute. This is where you come in with a big promo for me, Becky Kyle. All right, Kat Richardson and BB Queen, thank you so much for being here. I know it's your first time in Madame Perry Salon. Goodness knows, I hope it won't be the last. I hope you will come back. It's been an absolute pleasure. Becky Kyle, same with you. You are the goddess. I adore you. anyone out there is a writer or musician and you want to learn more about my, you want publicity for your books or music, but you can't afford a whole publicity strategy and campaign, you can go to my website for my company, Lone Wolf Communications, that's LoneWolfCommm.net, and you can learn about my Promote This DIY webinars for do-it-yourself publicity for authors and musicians. You can find out about it right there. Becky, do you want to chime in with some kind of a...
Oh, well, Fanny and Dice is available wherever fine books are sold, and if you want to learn about two women's journey out of hell and straight back into it, from Hades to Halifax.
Literally?
Literally.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. This is Madam Perry signing off. Thank you.